Thank you both for having Evangelist Watson out today and Sister Hicks. Praise the Lord for them. Been running for the Lord for a long time. Isaiah 53 this morning for a few minutes, and then I'm going on to Acts. One thing that I found out in my lifetime, I'm young to Evangelist Watson. I just turned 70, but I'm old to a lot of people. When I grew up, we didn't have a lot of anything, and it isn't because everybody who was in my time frame was poor, because some people had lots of money, and some people were doing well, but we didn't have a whole lot. But the one thing that my mother did have was that she had God. The one thing that she did have was that she had God, and of all the things that she ever gave me in life was her belief in God. And she gave it to me at a time before I was, she gave me a belief in God before I was old enough not to believe in God. She gave it to me at a time when I would believe anything that she said.
Yeah.
It's the time when you can convince kids of the tooth fairy. Convince them of Santa Claus. You can convince them of Easter Bunny. All these things, and whatever you say, they believe. Because to them, since their hearts are pure, everything they hear is truth. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time to teach them about God, because parents aren't always there with you. You may not always have money, and as long as you live in the earth, if you live in the earth, and we all do, then you're going to have trials, and you're going to have disappointments, and you're going to have troubles. You're going to have hurts, and all the things that came into the earth when Adam and Eve fell a long time ago when sin first came. But along with them falling came a promise from God. He made a promise in the garden a long time ago, and we're living and standing on that promise today. And many people, and I've reached a point now where many people that I have known have already gone into heaven. Mm-hmm. Some of them may not have made it, but I would hope that most of them have. He made a promise right there in the garden, and his promise was that even though the serpent would bruise the seed of the woman's heel, in other words, he was going to hurt us. Yes. Satan hurts us from time to time, and he disappoints us. And he does little things that we are slow to accuse him of, and we really should blame him for everything. Say, well, he's not guilty of everything. It doesn't matter. I blame him anyway. He's always blaming me, so I blame his back. He hurts us, and he tries so hard to derail us and keep us from going forward. Because his life is already, he's already been cast down, and his power has been nullified. All the things that he would like to do, he's not able to do, because God is good and just and won't allow him to do them. But no matter what happens in the earth, and we're going to run into them, I wish today, as we do this, and I won't be long, but I wish today that people would attribute more of the disappointments and the frustrations and things. I wish they'd put them where they are and attribute them and stop saying it's bad luck and it's bad fortune and it's just karma and it's just this and that and the other. And really put it to where it's attributed to, and it should be attributed directly to Satan. Because he's the person who convinced Adam and Eve to fall to begin with. And he's the person who brought all the trouble and the fear and death into the world. And even if he's not the one you can attribute it to directly, you can attribute it to him indirectly. Yeah. He's the one who gives influences in our life and influences us not to do the things that are right, to do little things that we know are wrong or whatever. He's always doing that. And he's going to do that until we're taken out of the earth. And so what we need is someone to help us and defend us. And we need grace and mercy so that when we believe him, someone will forgive us for it. He fools us all the time if we let him. He comes to deceive and to kill and to destroy. And then God at the same time said that the seed of the woman was going to crush his head, bruise his head, take his power and destroy him. That person that God was talking about in the garden was his son, Jesus Christ, who would come. At the time was the Word. And he made sure that people knew even then, from Adam and Eve, when they first started with sacrifices, he let them know then that someone was going to come and deliver them. And from time to time in all of our lives, we've always needed a deliverer.
Yes.
Even when we were growing up, when we were kids, we needed a deliverer. We needed Jesus, but we needed a deliverer in our own house.
Yes.
Every time we cried, our mother came, our deliverer.
Yes.
And every time we were afraid, our dad came, he was our deliverer. Every time we needed something, the parents stepped in, they were our deliverers. They were being like God.
Yes.
Whether they said so or not. And God is the absolute deliverer.
Yes.
His son Jesus Christ came to deliver us from sin, and that's why we are here, because of the resurrection. But I want to look at a couple of scriptures this morning, and I won't take long. One of them is in Acts. And, Acts, the third chapter. And I'm going to look at one in John. And then I want to look at one in 2 Corinthians, and we'll be through for this morning. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, I was saying to Sean, go to Elder Smith, one of them this morning. This is one of the reasons why I'm going to start doing more teaching out of a New Living Translation, because Isaiah 53rd chapter, in case you missed the message in Isaiah 53, number one, you need to know that Isaiah prophesied this some 800, 700 years before Jesus ever came. He talks about how badly Jesus was beaten. Yesterday we were looking at the movie again, The Passion. And you won't get saved looking at movies. But I'll tell you what they will do if they're done well, and if they stay close to Scripture, they will give you an illustration, because some of us need visuals.
Yes.
And sometimes an illustration helps us more than just reading. But in the New Living Translation, if you read Isaiah 53, starting at 52 and 51, and if you've been around as long as Evangelist Watson has been around as long as I have, by now you've read Isaiah 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56. You've read all of them, and all of them were written by someone 800 years before Christ, and they apply to us today.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are living now in the Latin term Anno Domini, which means in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We live now in the time of Jesus Christ. We are since Christ came and gave us a new covenant that is different from the law and saved us from the law. He brought us salvation and redeemed us, but he was always a redeemer. And in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it describes the sort of death he's going to die. And it talks about him being beaten and being smitten. It really is kind of gory when you read it, and that's just how bad it was. It says that he was beaten so bad no one would recognize him.
Yes.
And all these things came to pass. But in one place, it says in Isaiah, it says that we did a demon. Even him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But he says, but really the reason why he was wounded was because of us. And the reason why he was beaten was because of us. And the wounds and the battering of his body is for our healing. He lets you know that it wasn't by any fault of his own, but it was to deliver us and set us free. That's an important message, and it's one that sometimes I wish I could get more people to hear, but everyone, since we're born in sin, I guess we're born corrupt. I know we are. But everyone seems to be afraid to really trust God.
Yes.
You know, until you know, where's my cord at? And that's why we sing the song, I tried it. Never failed. Tried. Never failed. When we preach and teach, we're trying to convince people to do.
Yes.
Give Jesus the same chance that you've given everything else.
Yes.
I know of no greater risk than for people to gamble. Gamblers take great chances for no reason. Gets in their blood, and they just like to gamble and go to Vegas and pull the slots and do all those things. My God, if you can take a chance on a slot machine, you ought to be able to take a chance on God.
Yeah.
If you're going to really take a chance and play a rolling dice, you ought not mind taking a chance on God. If you're going to bet on a racehorse, you ought to take a chance on God, because you're a chance taker.
Yes.
If you're going to really invest in the stock market, then you ought to invest in God. Because you don't mind taking risks. And you have nothing to lose in Christ. But the world is such that people not only, even today, I was looking at this morning, I was riding to church this morning, as I always do, and I look at all the people who have no regard for God, and they're going about their way, and God is sustaining them.
Yes.
They have no desire to hear the word of God, and God is sustaining them.
Yes.
But we're no different than people have always been, aren't we? We're the same humans,
yes,
that were in the garden. The same ones that have been all along, the same ones in Judges, that every time they would fall in Judges, God would send them a good preacher, a good pastor, a good prophet, whatever you want to call him. And he'd go in and move by miracles and signs and wonders. It would be, sometimes it would be Gideon, or it would be Barak, or it would be Samson. The people that we hear the Bible stories about, each time one of those people came along, they brought the people back to God.
Yeah.
And God would do miraculous things through them so that people would turn back to God. And as soon as their life was over and they ended their ministry, the people would find their way right back to where they were.
Yeah.
They just didn't have the mind to stay with God. And even now, because of all the evil that's gone into the world, people don't like to hear about God. But you're not. But we're not the first ones who are like that, are we?
No.
Because if you turn to John... Oh, and about, let's look at, I was reading it this morning, and the Gospel of John, and after Jesus comes and he raises Lazarus from the dead, the Pharisees had this problem with him. And they wanted to see how they could possibly kill him. Because they said, if we don't get rid of him, they're going to come and take our nation and our temple.
Yes, that's what they said.
Yeah. Let's see which one it is. Yes, it's in John the 12th chapter. John the 12th chapter. It's one of them. And 42. And it says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers and many that believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. That's one of them. And then there's another one where he says in John, they said to him, if we put the people, all the people will go after him, and we'll lose our place and our temple.
Yeah.
See if I see that one real quick. See it, Chandra? Got it yet?
Mm-hmm.
I was reading it just this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were saying was, we don't really want to have Jesus because he'll change what we're doing. And we like what we're doing, and we like the way that we are. And as if there was so much for them to give up. I'm going to find this one this morning, and then I'm going to move on. I heard somebody on Zoom say, what did you say it was?
11 and
48. 11 and 48, she says. Yeah. Okay, there you go. 11 and 47. Mm-hmm. Then gathered the chief priests and Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. When they saw Jesus, well, you know, the thing to do when you see somebody working miracles is to believe in them.
Yes.
The thing that you do when someone delivers you is to believe in them.
Yes.
When God blesses you, you know what you're really supposed to do?
Believe
in him.
Yes.
When God brings you out of a terrible trial or whatever, you know what you're supposed to do?
Believe
on him.
Yes.
And they're asking the question, he does all these miracles. What do we need to do? And then, instead of believing on him, they said, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. They should have. And the Romans will come and take away our place in our nation.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is it's more important for me to maintain my status and the way that I am than to believe on him. And I don't want to give an opportunity to come to him. He says, because I like the way my life is.
Yes.
And I don't want it to change. And when people come to God, one thing I can say absolutely, if you come to God, We can say many things to you, but one thing I guarantee you, the reason for coming to God is to change.
Yes.
And it is always a change for the better.
Better. Yes.
But they were locked into where they were, what they were doing, and how they were. They didn't need God. They had forgotten. You know how it is? You can go through a lot of pain, a lot of different things, but when you start feeling good, you forget so quickly about the pain.
Yes.
And you forget about, you know, sometimes when people are really under a lot of pressure and really going through, they'll turn to God and people will say, well, I'm praying for you. And you'll say thank you. And when all the troubles and all the problems have gone, seemingly, then you decide, well, that was good while it lasted. And you go back to what you were doing. But you're still on earth.
Earth, yes.
And the devil is still running to and fro.
Yes.
And he and you say, well, then God hasn't given up on me yet. And the devil hasn't given up on you either.
That's right.
No, he hasn't. And when all the, you know, you go through a difficult time. And when it's over, you know, it seems like it never happened to start with. You're hurt, and this won't go right. As soon as things start going right, it's like everything's been going right all along. But if you don't have God, there's more pain coming.
Yes, that's right.
And he's the only one who keeps coming back over and over again and helping and doing things. So they were set in the temple. They confessed he's done many miracles.
Yes.
You know, can you say today, God has worked something out in my life, or has it come a point where you start to say, everything that happened in my life was just fate?
No.
And all the good things that happened in my life is because I worked so hard and I made them happen. Are you making your heart beat too?
Yeah.
And everything else that goes on in my life is because I'm so great at what I do.
Yes.
And I'm so fantastic.
Yes.
Can you say that?
Yes.
When I was down and when I was really going through it, and it could be, maybe I'm talking to the wrong audience, because it could be that the only person who's ever had any problems in life is me. And the only person who's ever had any difficulty in life could be I'm the only one.
No.
Maybe everybody else is doing just fine with or without God, and I'm the only person who ever needed God. Maybe it's an experience that no one else has gone through. Has anybody in here ever needed God at all? Have you ever needed the Lord?
Yes.
Have you ever found yourself, even though you didn't believe enough to come to God, but when you got in a difficult time, you were hoping that God is real?
Yes.
And here it is, when he talked to the, you know, when he's doing all these miracles, some of them won't confess it because they're afraid of what other people will say. I'll lose all my friends. He'll give you new ones. Some of them will even come with you. How, you know, they won't look at me the same, and you know, because I'm a party animal and I can't give that up. Life, that's going to do something great for your future and do something. And the people looked at Jesus and they said, you know, many of them, they would have believed on him, and many of the leaders would have believed on him. But they were concerned because they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. They were more concerned about what men would do than what God would do.
Yeah.
And Jesus had to tell them one time, he says, you don't need to be afraid of those that will kill the body. He says, you need to be afraid of him that will kill the body and the spirit, and cast it into everlasting fire. It is God that we really need. This is the purpose of it. But I found out something too. When they found out about Jesus, and another one, when Jesus comes, and he and Lazarus are together in John, they come after he resurrects Lazarus from the dead, and they not only want to kill Jesus, but they also want to kill Lazarus.
Yeah.
Because they want to put a stop to the miracle. And that let me know something else about the devil. When God blesses you, the devil shows up real quick and tries to make it be from someplace else and somehow else. And when he brings you out of a great trial, in a few days, if you allow him, he'll convince you that you never were, that you weren't really in that bad a shape to begin with.
Yeah.
That things weren't ever really that bad. You would have come through, that was a close one. Sure glad I made it.
Yeah.
No, you need to say, that was the close one. I'm glad God brought me out.
Yes.
And glory to God. And then when we make God a vow, Lord, if you just get me out of this one, you just get me out of this one.
Yeah.
That's what we always say, Lord, if you'll just fix this one.
Yes.
That's what we say.
Yes.
Until we're fixed. Yes. And then we're like the 10 lepers. You know, you really want God to heal your leprosy, but as soon as your leprosy is healed, nobody shows. Everybody takes off. Because they're healed now. They can go back to doing whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
But there's something greater about God than just being healed in the earth. There's something greater about God. My life is short. I probably might have 20 more years, maybe 25 more years left. But then comes eternity. And
yes.
People don't like for you to talk about eternity.
Yes.
And they like to make eternity look like it's not the world's greatest things. They give you zombies.
Yes.
Because you like watching zombie movies, but nobody wants to be a zombie. And someone who has somehow cheated death and continues to live, but it's a life that you don't want. So you always, you know, the devil likes to make you not want what God has. He resents it in a package so that you ought not have it. It's like when we're in America, we live in America, we aren't hidden from anybody. Don't you know there are people who need help, and there are people who need money, and there are people who need to be fed, and there are people who need to be a lot of things. But the people who have it don't want them to have it. They want to present it like it's going to tear them everything.
Yeah.
It's going to demolish the country.
Yeah.
If you give people health care, it'll ruin health care for everybody. Ooh. Everybody doesn't have health care, just you.
Yeah.
But if you give it to everybody, it'll ruin health care. So you want to have health care perfect for you while some have none.
Yeah.
It's always that way. And it's that way in God. When God talks about eternal, when we talk about eternal life and living with God forever and being perfect, you know, no hurts, no ills, no fear of death, no anything. And the devil likes to get it and make it look like it's a vampire. If you live forever, you're a vampire. If you live forever, you're a zombie. If you live forever, you're a mummy. If you live forever, haven't you ever considered why they make all these movies about life that doesn't end? It's to convince you that everlasting life is not great.
Right.
They always make it be something that you don't want to be.
Right, yeah.
Because the devil is a liar and the father of it.
Yes.
And he's good at convincing people that they don't need God.
Yes.
He's always worked real hard to make sure that, you know, that your life is, you don't have much in life, but what little bit you got is better than having God. You don't have, you know, you have people who have basically nothing in life and nothing works for them, and they go through and all these things, and yet he convinces them that what they don't, even though they don't have much, is better than having God.
Yes.
How deceived. But we're getting old, aren't we?
Yes.
And you know, the point being, everybody's getting old at the same rate. Yes. I'm not getting older any faster than you are.
Yes.
You're getting old just as quickly as I am.
Yes.
And pretty soon you'll look back like I do and realize that my youth, when I used to be the big bass player and all this kind of stuff, it's been over 35 years ago.
Yes.
And time just flies.
Yes.
I thought about it the other day. My mother's been dead for 50-some years.
Yep.
53 years, as a matter of fact. That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's a lifetime for some people.
Yes.
It occurs to me. My son turned 50. I mean, we're all getting old at the same rate. Your time for being in God is coming.
Yes.
What years I have left, I want the blessings of God.
Yes.
And then when I do leave the earth, I want to go to God.
Yes.
It's like they said, like I said about Jesus, he came from God and went to God.
Yes.
Well, I didn't come from God, but that sure is where I want to go.
Yes.
But they've always made it seem like the message has always been, if you come to God, you can't do nothing. If you come to God, and it's always been this, in Jesus' time, they had made up their mind what they needed to do in order to stop God from being able to do what God planned to do was kill the messenger. When he was on the cross of Calvary, the intent, Elder Jenkins, was to kill the messenger.
Yes.
If you don't like my message, kill the messenger.
Yes.
And this has always been Satan's ploy. That's just why he killed the prophets. That's the reason why they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. I mean, cut in half. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in the fiery furnace. And this is why Daniel was in the lion's den. I don't like your message, so we killed the messenger.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about God, so kill the messenger. I don't want this Jesus to come and be the Savior and be the Redeemer. He's doing all these miracles, and he's causing people to believe in him. What we need to do is get rid of the messenger.
Yeah.
You can get rid of the messenger, but you can't get rid of the message.
Yeah.
It will remain the same. God is going to be God.
Yeah.
And if they had known that, it would not only not change the plan of God, but it would expedite and help the plan of God, because he came specifically for that purpose. Because it was not for his death that he died, but it was me. If they had realized that the person who's really being saved by his death is actually us, then it would have been different. But they thought, because Satan would have them do that, that when they killed him, that God's program would end.
Yeah.
I have news for you. No one stops God's program. You just disqualify yourself from being a part of it.
Yeah.
No one keeps God from giving eternal life. You just don't be a partaker of it. No one stops God from having salvation. You just stop having it yourself.
Yes, that's right.
But you'll never kill the message. Jesus saves.
Jesus saves, yes.
So then in Acts, and I'm almost done, in Acts, and I've read this one, and I looked at it because I said, this is us today. Peter, James, and John, last scripture of the day, Peter, James, and John go up to the temple at the hour of prayer in Acts, the third chapter. And by the gate beautiful, they come because at this time, Jesus has been risen from the dead. He has already ascended, and they watched him go up. And one of the most pointed things I know about God, there have been certain things that God has done in the Word of God that stand out to me more than others. And one of them is the parting of the Red Sea. Every time I'm going through, parting of the Red Sea comes back to me because I absolutely believe it. And if God can part the Red Sea, which he did, surely he can get me through anything I need to get through. Another thing that he did that was so miraculous, even more so than raising Lazarus from the dead, was when he went up. I absolutely believe Jesus went up. Some people, I watch when people try to depict it in movies, and I say to myself sometimes, why do you have to, when you try to show a biblical movie, why do you have to add some drama or something there that's not in the Word of God? Because when you read the Bible, you find out that the life and story of Christ is adventure enough. There's enough in there if you just try to show that. You don't like to show God in a body. You know, when God's talking to people, you don't want it to be a real voice. You want it to be some mumbling, some whatever. You don't want him to walk with Abraham. You don't want to see him come down.
Yeah.
You don't want to see Jesus go up. You want to send him up the side of a hill. The man didn't go up the side of a hill. He went up.
He went up. Yes, he rose. Yes. Yes, he went up.
So, well, why won't you show him go up? Because you're afraid of the message.
Yes.
You don't want me to think that I'm going up.
Yes.
Don't you know if Jesus comes back today, I'm going up.
Yes.
Well, that's where you lose me at. That's where Paul lost the Greeks at.
Yeah.
When he started talking about the resurrection, they were with him as long as he talked about Jesus' miracles.
Yeah.
They were with him as long as he talked about blessings. They were with him as long as he talked about healing. But when he said he was resurrected from the dead, they said, now we have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When he talks about him being resurrected from the dead, that's the reason why I'm here. I need a resurrection. I don't just need a resurrection at death. I need resurrections all the time. I need God to bring me out of this. And I need God to bring me out of that. The power that could resurrect Jesus from the dead can do anything in life that I ever need.
Yes.
It is the power of the resurrection. And we mutter and muddle through the earth, leaning to our own understanding. Because we don't like the message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We don't like that we need a Savior. We're so independent. We don't need anyone to save us. We're quite capable of making it on our own. And yet we can't keep our heart beating. And you'll never stop me from... Why he keeps saying keep my heart? Because it's something you can't do.
That's right. And that's what God...
If when God stops keeping your heart beating, it will stop. And there's nothing you can do about it. And they can slap the paddles on. They can plug you in. But when God stops, when he stops sustaining your heartbeat, you will be dead.
Yes, right.
And it doesn't matter how smart you are, how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter how much science does. They can, God will allow them to come up with a cure for polio and those things. And they always use things that God has already created. But it is God who sustains us and keeps us every day.
Yes, yes.
And if he does something as simple as this, think of how much more God will do in your life if you will give your life to him to work with.
Yes.
So they go up to the temple with this man, and I'm going through it because, you know, when we talk about Jesus, people, you know, we don't really want to hear a whole lot. He goes up to the temple, man sitting there. And he can't walk, and he asked for silver and gold. They don't have it. They said, but we do have power of God, and such as we have, we give it to you. And they raised the man up. And then there's a great furor about verse number 12. And verse 9. 3 and 9. Acts 3 and 9. Is everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
And all the people saw him walking and praising God, talking about the man he healed. And they knew it was he which sat at alms by the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened unto him. That which, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Creek. They wondered, wouldn't you like to see someone healed who couldn't walk, see them get up and walk?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to see that power?
Amen.
Wouldn't you, in my mind, you know, and I pray, wouldn't you like to see someone to cast the devil out of crack, out of people who are on crack and they no longer have a habit?
Amen.
Don't you know, for all the people you see on crack, it's the grace of God that you're not on crack, that I'm not on crack?
Yeah.
So I never did have a mind to do that. That's because of God's mercy.
Yeah.
That's because of how God led you and how he kept you.
Yeah.
You could be anything that anybody else is if God had allowed it to come that way. Yeah. Don't you know they don't have to be on it either?
Yes.
Don't you know there's a way out? I'm not unsympathetic to them. I'm not insensitive. I pray the Lord will make a way so they'll get themselves taken care of. But don't you know that's a choice they make?
Yes.
Haven't you figured out yet that it can happen to anyone but for the grace of God? And when these people see that this man is walking and leaping, they want to know how this is coming to be. Because if I see somebody healed, I want to know how you got healed and what happened. And it says in here in verse number 12, and Peter, when he saw it, answered and said unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? We didn't do it. It was God's power. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. And 14, this is where I am today, and this is the last scripture. And you denied the Holy One. You denied the Holy One.
Yes.
And the just. Yes. And desired a murderer to be granted unto you.
Yes.
And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and you denied the Holy One. You denied the Holy One. Well, tell me, Charles Smith, have you ever denied the Holy One? Yes, I have. Every time God told me to go one way and not to go another way, I denied the Holy One and chose the other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he made the point. He says, when God sent his son to die for you, he says, you could have had life. He says, the person who's doing all this power you could have, he says, but you denied the Holy One. You didn't want the one who had the power.
Right, yeah.
He says, and you chose someone who was a robber and a thief, and you would rather have that than have God.
Yeah.
And whatever thing it is in your life that you desire to have, wherever you are, you did, every time Jesus is calling and saying to you that you need a Savior and you don't come, you deny the Holy One. And you choose whatever it is you're going through, and you're saying, I'd rather have this than to have God. But there's a song that we sing that, you know, that it's been done through several different things. It said, I'd rather have Jesus more than anything. I'd rather have Jesus above everything else in the world, above silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus. But when we're preaching Christ, when people, we invite people to church, but they deny the Holy One. And we invite people to Bible study, but they deny the Holy One. And we ask people to be saved, but they deny the Holy One. And we tell people that God can work their plans out of what they got going, but they deny the Holy One. And they decide, I'd rather have what I've got. I'll take my life with troubles rather than give it to God. I don't want God in my life because I don't want somebody telling me what to do. Like you don't have people telling you what to do all the time. Anyway, don't you know about laws? You know what laws do? They tell you what to do. And when you won't do what law says do, laws will put you someplace so that they don't have to worry about you anymore. But you need the Holy One because he's the one who gives you the right way to go and the right thing to do. And most of us get to a point after a while, the reason why we don't God in our life, because you have something that you like that you don't want, that you know God's going to say you need to get rid of.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. If God says you need to get rid of anything, it's destroying you.
Yes.
Like it or not. Yes. If God says you need to stop doing something, it's because it's destroying you. He's not just this mean father who doesn't like to see you happy. God don't want to see me with nothing. No, God wants to see you with everything.
Yes.
But death. God wants to see you move. God wants to see you blessed. God wants to see you healed. So, well, how badly does he want to see me blessed? He sent his only begotten son. Would you give your son to die for somebody else? Would you send your son, your daughter, to die not only for somebody else, but for someone who didn't even like you? Someone who preferred not to be around you? When we were enemies, Christ died for us. When we didn't love God, God sent Christ. I wasn't loving God the day the lady showed up and witnessed to me. Ellen Jenkins, I wasn't loving God that day.
Yeah.
I was sitting back drinking a beer, watching the Dallas Cowboys lose, and that's what I was loving. I was watching, you know, sitting in this person's house, and he loved the Dallas Cowboys. I can't remember who they were playing. I just remember they were losing, and I was loving it. That's what I was really into. And when she came in, she took her time, and she didn't tell me that I was going to die and go to hell. She simply told me that I needed Jesus.
Yes.
And somehow or another, it was the way she said it and the simplicity of it and the humility of it. And God drew me from that day, and I've been here ever since. Oh, I've been up and I've been down. So I've been back and I've been forward. But I'm here.
Amen.
The message remains the same. No, when it came to Jesus, the people decided, we'd rather have what we've got already.
Yes.
We're doing just fine.
Yes.
Well, as long as you're in the earth, you're going to need God.
Yes.
As long as you're, and I'll go even further than that. Not only are you going to need God in the earth, you're going to need God throughout eternity. Because even when I'm changed from mortal to immortal, the person who sustains that will be God.
Yes.
And the person who keeps me will be God. Killing the messenger won't keep you from needing the message. And it won't stop God from doing what God is here to do. So all my life, I'm finished. All my life, my mother, from the time I can remember, I've always been in church someplace. But did you do it all? Did you keep it when you got older? No. Some years I went to the street and did all that and said, well, aren't you better for the experience? No. The best thing that could have happened to me is I should have never went to the street.
Right.
Yeah. I shouldn't have the memories that I have been in the street. You know what? For us who are older, God not want your kids to have memories that are not good. God not want them, you know, and some people like to say that about their kids, they like to say, well, you know, they got to have some knocks and they got to have some bruises. You ought to spare them from as many of them as you can.
Yes.
You shouldn't, you know, if you've driven over a cliff in your life, you should say, well, my kids need to drive over the same cliff so they'll get the same lesson. If you've been burned by touching a hot stove, you should tell your kids the stove is hot. Don't touch it.
Yeah.
If things have not gone well in your life, you should say to them, this didn't go well. This didn't work out.
Yeah.
You ought not have to try suicide to know it doesn't work. You ought not leave it to them to try drugs to find out it's something they ought not do. You shouldn't have to live a life in the street to find out they should do something different. Can't you tell them anything that's good? They shouldn't have to fall on their face all night long, every day, and go through all the things we've gone through. Since we've gone through them and survived, how do you know they'll make it through it? You should make every opportunity for them not to have to do it. I ought to make my kids' life better than mine.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
That's how God is. God has a better life for me.
Yeah.
Better life for you. Better life for us. My life since being in God has been so much greater.
Yes.
So when Jesus came and he spoke to the people, he told them, he says, I'm the good shepherd. He said, take my yoke upon you. He says, it's not like the temple. It's not like the Jews. He says, it's easy.
Yeah.
He says, life will be better. He told them, well, what I've come, I have come that you might have life, but have it more abundantly. What you need is me.
Yes.
And we take all the things that we've got. We take all the things that we can get from God.
Yes.
And yet we don't want him.
Yes.
Don't you know? The same one who healed you one time and sustained you, and the same one who's keeping you.
Yes.
Is the one you can lean and depend on.
Yes.
So Christ came, as he says in Isaiah, he wasn't wounded for his own transgressions, he was wounded for mine.
Yes.
He didn't take any nails in his hands for himself, he took them because of me.
Yes.
And with his stripes, I'm healed. He didn't, you know, you never read about Jesus being sick at any time because he had no sin in him, so he was never sick. He was never ill because God sustained him.
Yes.
But the battering and the bruising he took, it was because of me. Don't you know, all my kids, as bad as it looks today, and we're looking at where the world is going, don't you know they need God?
Yes.
That's the one good thing in the earth, and it's the one thing to watch out for. We can't depend on anybody else or anything else. It's not getting any better anywhere else.
No.
And we're not going to always be here for them because we're getting older. So then Christ came because God loved us. Went to the cross of Calvary, died, made us righteous, made us holy, saved us, redeemed us. Elder Russell was preaching the other night, with the sinless blood of Jesus Christ will be redeemed. And every time you ask God to forgive you, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of what he's done on the cross of Calvary. Oh, saints of God, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, you know what you need to do? You need to let him in.
Yes.
You need to let him in. That's another thing Satan does. When we preach to let Jesus in, people like to think we're asking you to let us in.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to let me in. I'm asking you to let
Jesus in. Yes.
I'm not asking you to let me run your life. And pastors who try to run everybody's life wrong for that. Let Jesus do it.
Yes.
I'm not trying to steer. I'm not trying to, you know, invade anybody's house and invade their mind and capture their soul. No, because I don't have my own. I don't have my own soul.
Yeah.
God does.
God does.
I don't have my own life. Christ does. But there's a change that comes. Floods of joy, oh my soul, like the sea billow roll, since Jesus came into my heart. There's been a great change in me, you stand. A great change in me. I am so happy. I am so free. He brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, great change in me. I want to encourage everybody today, especially all the young people and the old people as well. You're going to always need God. You're going to always need God. You're going to always need God. At every step in your life, you're going to need God. At all times, you're going to need God.
Amen.
You might not always go along with God. That's your fault. But it sure won't be because you don't need it. Whatever you have, no matter how great you are, it will be greater if you have God.
Yes.
Everything works out better if you have God. It comes to be a point after a while where you get beyond being able to do things yourself, and you're going to need God. And if you won't call on him today, don't shoot down the message. Remember it. Because there's going to come a time when the only person who can deliver and the only person who can work things out will be God. And you can depend on God because he's done the one thing that we needed him to do. He's been resurrected from the dead. He has defeated Satan. He's defeated death. He has all power. God can work things out. If you're not close to God, you need to be. Let me pray for everybody. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we ask you to just bless everybody today. Bless this communion that we're getting ready to do. Lord, bless us in our coming in and in our going out, oh God. Keep us, oh Lord. Remind us of the greatness of your Son and all he's done for us. Lord, we give you glory and we give you honor. Heal today and deliverance. Set free. Break every yoke. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. And the people say amen. Praise the Lord. Ask Elder Reed to come. We're going to have, you can be seated for a minute. Today is Easter. We call it Resurrection Sunday. And what we're going to have is communion today. And we're going to do something different today. We're going to have communion. And when I give it to you, sometimes we have you come up and we just minister to everyone individually. But today, since we have people also on Zoom as well, and they'll be taking communion with us, I'm going to give you. Oh, I'm going to give you the cup, and I'm going to give you, that's why you should always fill it up. I'm going to give you the cup, and I'm going to give you the bread, but I want you to hold it until we all have it, because I also have people on screen that we're going to do it at the same time, so we're going to bless this. And I'm going to read this scripture out of 1 Corinthians, and I encourage you to read along with me. It's in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. And it says in 1 Corinthians, and I'm praying by now that all of everyone who's listening to me, all of you have your cup and you all have your bread. And 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. And he says in this, in 11:23, if I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. In other words, Paul says, this is what I got from Jesus. The Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes. And he says in this, and let me finish it, and then I'll stop. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. And so he goes on in this, and when he's doing this, when we're doing communion, we're not of the people who believe that when we actually take this blood, and when we actually take this bread and take this cup, that we're changing it to the body and the blood of Christ. No, it's just juice, and it's just a cracker. But it represents Christ's body being broken for us.
Amen.
Represents Christ's blood being shed for us. And if some of you are ever wondering and you want to read, you find out in the 12th chapter of Hebrews that Christ makes the statement, Paul writes, one of the things that Paul talks about that's in heaven in the temple is the blood of Jesus Christ. And whether you know it or not, every time you ask God to forgive you, he looks upon the blood. And every time you ask the Lord to deliver you from something, he looks upon the blood that was shed for us. And the other thing that he says is this bread, this is his body, represents his body. Why do I need his body? It's because this body, after Adam had failed, became a body of sin. And it's this body that had to die. Do you know how many people there are, Brother Griffin? They don't realize that when we're caught up, we're going to be caught up bodily. There are people who in the rapture who think that when Jesus comes back in the rapture, he's just going to take the soul and the spirit. No, he's going to change your body. People in heaven have bodies. They're not just souls and spirits whispering around the immortality of the body. My soul and my spirit are already immortal. They don't die. They either go to heaven or they go to hell, one or two, but they don't die. It's my body that he's going, a body that he's going to change from mortal to immortal. You know this body that we love? The thing that we pamper, that we look at all the time? This imperfect thing that gets sick when it wants to? And my body doesn't get sick when it wants to. Well, tell me when you wanted your body to be sick. It gets sick when it wants to. It feels bad when it wants to. Because of the corruption that is in it. It gets diseased when it comes in contact with something that will hurt it in some way, whether you want it or not. But one day you're going to be immortal, either in heaven or you'll be immortal in hell. But you're going to be changed and you'll live forever. And it's not just the soul and spirit, it's the body. You know, this thing we like to look at in the mirror, we just love it so much. We pamper it. We just, you know, shower all kind of affection on it. Well, love it enough to want to live forever. Really love it. And allow the Lord to come in. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. We're going to pass out this bread and this juice. And we're going to make the rounds. It'll take us a few minutes because we have to go throughout and just remain where you are. And then I want you to just hold it until everybody has theirs. And hold it so that everybody on Zoom has theirs. And then we're going to all take communion at the same time. Does everybody understand? We got that? All right. This represents, I'm going to say it one time. You can be seated because we're going to come around. But I'll have you stand when you get ready to take it. Please sit down. This represents Christ's body that is broken for you. It is a symbol, as he said in one place, he told them all those that would come to him must eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. Don't ever think that he was a vampire. He was telling them they had to be cannibals. This was a common idiom through a crisis time and admit that you had to totally consume him or receive him. It means that when Christ comes in your life, he's supposed to come in your whole life, not just part of it. Christ is not someone that I just keep in my pocket that I take out from time to time when I have troubles. My life is in Christ. Oh, what a great thing it is to live a life in Christ. If your life is not in Christ, you should try and allow the Lord to really become your life. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. Life changes when Christ comes in. He makes a difference, and you'll see a great difference in your life. As the song says, there's been a great change in me. A great change in me. Just pass it on and take it. I am so happy. I am so free. Brought me out of let them get it themselves. Brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, a great change in me. Now while she's doing that, that same night also, he took juice and blessed it. Wine after he had. And he said, this represents my blood that is shed for you, the new covenant of my blood. And the reason why it was a new covenant, Brother Marshall, is because it was not the blood of bulls and goats or the blood of an animal in the new covenant, but it was the precious blood of Jesus Christ himself, his sinless blood. And this was the blood for the remission of the sins, because God has decided that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So he took this. He says, this is a new covenant. It's not under the law, but this is Christ's perfect sinless blood. And he said, take ye and drink. And as often as you do this, just do in remembrance of me. This is what we're supposed to do while we're waiting. This is what we're doing while we're waiting on him to come. And it reminds us, it's supposed to give us faith and encourage us in God. Words that you're saying this morning when you take this. It's one thing about having chairs all spread out to get in between you, can't you? You're saying, I believe. I believe what? I believe in Christ. I believe that he came and that he died for me. And after 3 days and three nights, he was resurrected from the dead. You're saying, I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the life that I have because Christ has come, and because he's died, because he's been resurrected. You're saying today that I believe in the resurrection. I believe in the life in Christ. Here's the point. When you're taking this, you're saying, I believe that Jesus Christ has died for me. I believe he's been resurrected. Is that what you're saying, Tekoa? And he says this. He says there's something you need to watch out for. He says when you do this, make sure that you understand this is why you're doing it. When he says you do it not discerning the Lord's body, he says you do it unbelieving that Jesus Christ died and that he rose again. And that's not what we're doing today, is it? Did I miss anybody? Is everybody on Zoom? Do you all have it? Now let's stand. He gave his life. What more could he do? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. And he said, this represents my body. Take, eat, ye all of it. This do in remembrance of me. Then he said, take this cup. This represents the new covenant of my blood, the promise that Christ has made outside of the law, above the law, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. A promise. that if Christ comes in and lives in me, I'll have everlasting life. He promised that my sins would be forgiven and I would be set free from sin. This is the covenant that he has made on the oath that God gave that he is a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Take, drink you all of it. As often as you do it, just do it in remembrance of me. I know it was the blood. Sister Hicks is so good to always have you. Thank God for such a great job. Good, Mr. Campbell.